From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the third day of February 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets in just about 20 minutes. In agricultural news, ADM has turned in a very good financial quarter, and the Decatur, Illinois company is poised to become the nation's number one ethanol producer again. A poet is the current top ethanol dog. And on the flip side, one of the nation's largest corn refineries is warning analysts that 2009 profits could be just two-thirds of their expectations. And don't forget that in 26 minutes right here on the Closing Market Report, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition. The Closing Mark Report is a production, of course, of public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this in the nearby contract for the March wheat at 552.5, 11.25 cents. The loss, the May at 565.5, down 11.25. And July wheat at 577.25, 11.5 lower. March corn futures at 361.75, 8.75 lower. The May down 9 cents at 372.75 on the settlement. And July futures at 383, down 9.5. September corn futures 393.25, down 9.5. And December futures at 406.25. A settlement price there down 9.75 for the December corn. March soybean futures $9.46, down 13.5. The May at 950.25, 15.5 lower. And July beans at 955.5 finished down 17.5 cents. The August contract at 950.5, down 19. And November beans for the 2009 crop, that's the new crop, at $9.95, down 30 cents for the day. March bean meal at 301.80, down 440. March bean meal finished at, or rather bean oil at 31.53, down 23. The bean meal was down 440 at 301.80. February live cattle at 93.52.5, 37.5 cents lower. And the March feeders at 93.42.5, down 57.5. February lean hog futures at $57.60, finished the day 35 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, well, we don't have those at this point. So we'll take a look at the weather forecast as it's prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says a lake effect snow advisory is in effect for Lake and Cook counties in Illinois. That until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, that's just about to pass in the next half hour or so. On Tuesday, and for Jasper County in Indiana from this afternoon until 4 a.m. Wednesday morning. A lake effect snow warning is in effect for Lake and Porter counties in northwestern Indiana until 4 a.m. Wednesday morning as well. And a lake effect snow watch for LaPorte and Stark counties in northwestern Indiana from this afternoon through Wednesday afternoon. And finally, a winter weather advisory for snow is in effect for central and southeastern Indiana until 7 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region does look like. This afternoon in northeastern Illinois and in northwestern Indiana should be windy and cold. Some localized lake effect snow squalls and snow showers in western Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Some light snow, a few flurries, especially in southern and eastern Indiana. Highs will range from 10 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the far south. Tonight in western Illinois, clear to partly cloudy in eastern Illinois, cloudy with some lingering flurries in northwestern Indiana, cloudy, lake effect snow squalls and showers. In the rest of Indiana, cloudy, light snow and flurries. Lows will range from 8 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 15 in southern Indiana this evening. And then tomorrow in Illinois and western Indiana, becoming mostly sunny in eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered areas of light snow, mainly before noon. Highs tomorrow should range between 12 in northern Illinois and 25 in the far south.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us for a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at what happened in Chicago is John Hester of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I am doing very well. Had to scoop some snow off the driveway today. I bet you had to move more than I did, though.
Well, it's a little blustery here. It's a little windy and the sun's shining now, and it's quit snowing, so that's a good thing.
Well, it was starting to cloud up just a bit here, although I can see through the studio windows that it's a little bit of sunshine, but boy, blustery, what might be a good word for it. It was downright cold with that wind coming out of the north today. As I walk towards Mumford Hall here on campus, it's like a wind tunnel.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, well, it was really cold, so I guess we'll just have to live with winter for a little bit longer.
Well,
yeah. What happened in Chicago today?
Okay, it wasn't a very good day to be a farmer. The corn and bean market had continued pressure from yesterday. They opened weaker. They went down, and the beans basically led the way down. They went down and hammered on that 40-day moving average, which in the March is now 38, 39, somewhere in that area, depending on, you know, whose chart you look at. And they went down there. They hung around there quite a good part of the day. They finally broke it, went down to 34. The selling dried up, profit-taking came in, and towards the end of the day, they rallied back about, 13 cents off their lows and closed back above that 40-day moving average, which is good. The wheat stayed weak, though, and, the demand for the wheat is not very good right now. And the corn rallied back a couple cents, but, I couldn't muster as good a rally as the beans did. So, I'm hopeful tonight that maybe we've made a short-term low by closing back above this. And the commercials were pretty good buyers today, and maybe some profit-taking on the shorts will come in tonight and take profits, and we'll have a 10-cent rally tonight, which is always a possibility.
I know in your office you sell quite a little bit of crop insurance. The producer's been asking you questions, and what have they been asking?
I think probably the most overheard question that I've heard is it going to be cheaper next year, and how much cheaper? And the answer that I've heard that's been thrown back to the individual answering the question is that, yes, it's going to be cheaper, but we don't know yet because nobody knows what the volatility factor is going to be in the prices next year.
Hmm. Well, what's your guess at this point? How volatile might the marketplace be? If we stay at these sorts of levels, it seems to me that the volatility couldn't be nearly as great as it has been in the past.
I think that's true, but, I guess that volatility number that the insurance company uses is like, one day it's up 30 cents, the next day it's down 30 cents. We need a quiet for a low volatility factor, which affects the insurance price. You need a market that doesn't move over 8 or 9 cents one way or another a day. And I think if we keep going down like this, we've taken a pretty good chunk out of the bean market in the last week. We've taken right at a dollar out of it, and we're at some pretty critical levels now, and if we close below, 930, 935, that could very easily be setting up a test of the December lows at around $9.
John, I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Hey, thank you a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. John Hester is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at all the agricultural news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, U.S. agricultural processor Archer Daniels Midland easily beat Wall Street's expectations today with quarterly profits up 24% despite weakness in the ethanol market. ADM reported a net profit of $585 million, or 91 cents a share, for its fiscal second quarter ending December 31st, compared with $473 million, or 73 cents per share, a year earlier. Analysts, on average, were expecting earnings of 68 cents per share. But corn processing profit plummeted 89% to $29 million from $275 million a year ago, with the lower cost of corn not enough to offset weak demand in the ethanol market. ADM is expected to overtake POET as the largest U.S. ethanol producer in the U.S., with a total capacity projected to reach 1.62 billion gallons in 2010, when two new ethanol plants come online. ADM today says that 2.7 billion gallons of U.S. ethanol production capacity have been shut down due to weak demand and poor margins. Corn Products International warned Monday that 2009 profits may be up to a third less than analysts' expectations as it digests falling volumes and currency devaluations. The U.S. company is one of the world's largest corn refiners. Sam Scott, chairman and chief executive officer, said on an earnings conference call that the immediate outlook for pricing power was bleak, but expressed confidence that the market would rebound, allowing it to recoup foreign exchange losses within 2 years. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange is preparing to launch a website that offers electronic execution of options spread trades and allows market participants to discuss trades on an online message board. MSG traders say they are largely still in the dark regarding details of how the site would work. OPEC in January met only two-thirds of its pledge to lower oil output as several members of the producer group continued to pump above target levels. OPEC's 11 members, bound by output targets, pumped 26.23 million barrels per day, down from 27.24 million barrels per day in December, but above their target of 24.84 million barrels per day. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Three items of interest in my inbox today I thought you'd like to hear about. First is a local event, but if you're within driving distance, you might make it here to Champaign County for the Farm Bureau Equine Committee's Equine Garage Sale this Saturday. That's the 7th of February from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Farm Bureau Auditorium out on Country Fair Drive here. Horse and stable-related items, including tack, clothing, books, equine-related crafts, barn supplies, and more will be available. Consignments are welcome. A 20% commission will be charged on consigned items. Items can be brought to the Farm Bureau Friday afternoon on the 6th from 3 to 6, and on Saturday morning the 7th from 7 to 8:30 to be consigned. Proceeds from the sale benefit, of course, programs of the Champaign County Farm Bureau Equine Committee and the Staying Alive chapter of the Old People's Riding Club. For more information, you can contact the Farm Bureau here in Champaign County. That number, 217-352-5235. A couple of other items to bring up. The University of Illinois will host the first ever NJSA boot camp. That's the National Junior Swine Association. It's inviting NJSA members to participate in the first ever NJSA boot camp at the U of I, Saturday, March the 21st from 8 to 4. It's a one-day swine camp and open to youth ages 8 to 12. the conference will feature educational workshops on showmanship with winning youth showmen Brian Down and Jennifer Babs, show pig selection with swine judge and breeder Brandon Yantis, and skillathon preparation with Ryan Gertz, winner of the multiple NJSA skillathons. In addition, the youth will be invited to participate in a judging workout with the University of Illinois Livestock Judging Team coaches. Youth will be challenged to step up and out of their comfort zones while learning more about the swine industry. The registration deadline is February the 20th. You can visit www.nationalswine.com. That's nationalswine.com for more information on the NJSA boot camp in March. And finally, this one's due on March the 1st. The Westchester Group has a scholarship. College students and high school seniors looking for help in funding college expenses need to submit an application for a Westchester Foundation scholarship by the first day of March. Scholarships are awarded to high school seniors accepted for enrollment or students already enrolled at an accredited college, university, or community college in a course of study related to agriculture or agribusiness. Contact the Westchester Group and the Westchester Foundation right here in Champaign, Illinois, and I'm sure that one is good all over the nation. You can visit www.westchester-group.com. Now, let's move on to the feature story for the day. One of the things farmers might do to deal with rising fuel and fertilizer cost is to share equipment. I'll have more with the Farm Doc team right here on this campus, the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
It costs a lot of money to buy a big tractor. Think $100,000. It's a huge investment. When you look at it on the per-acre basis, say to make a single tillage pass across a field, it can cost close to $60 an acre. There are a couple of ways farmers can save money on this potential outlay, says Gary Schnitke of the Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois. They could, he says, move away from conventional tillage to strip-till or no-till.
No-till you probably can get by with lower horsepower. Strip-till depends on how you're doing the stripping operation, because that's still what you're doing is pulling an anhydrous ammonia tank with some extra sweeps or cultivation during that tillage, and that can be a fairly big tractor that's needed to do that operation. If several farmers get together and share that tractor, and that could reduce cost on those farms that are doing strip-till.
Sharing a tractor is a big commitment, worthwhile as it may be. The question is whether or not farmers are willing to adopt equipment sharing as a cost-saving management tool.
Well, that's a good question. There's probably limited adoption, but it's also come more to the forefront, particularly on combines. As you look at the newer combines, and you know they can go over 3,000 acres, and you get much lower cost when you're going over 3,000 acres versus 1,500 acres. So, two people sharing a combine will dramatically reduce cost.
The idea is not new, but it may have more merit in these tougher economic times when farms are getting bigger. The key to staying small may be to look like 3,000 or 5,000 acres. Sharing equipment can help accomplish that goal. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Time to take our weekly look at the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark is on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Harry.
Hello, Todd. Welcome.
Well, thank you. How are things there in Bloomington today?
Well, I'll tell you what, kind of a nice day after about 2 inches of snow over here overnight. Kind of a surprising little snowstorm moved on through. It's winter just continues on. I guess the groundhog says we're going to have 6 more weeks of it, huh?
I bet the groundhog is right, I think. That means winter doldrums. Have the marketplace been dull or not?
Well, no, it really hasn't. We sold off sharply here at the end of last year, and then we had another plunge to test those lows back in January, and especially in crude oil now, we almost have a large double bottom, as some of the chartists would tell us on the price charts, where we have a low of about $34 or $35 there a couple months in a row, and now we're just kind of going sideways. The seasonals really starts to suggest that most energy commodities will begin to have a price rally beginning sometime in the month of February, and that rally tends to last at least 2 or 3 months out into about planting time. So we're in the process here of trying to get the contracts made, get things on the books for end users, not just for spring, but for summer and fall. And so that's kind of been taking our time up here.
It almost seems as if a rally would be welcomed in the larger span of the economy at this point. Is that something I'm viewing wrongly or not?
No, I don't think so. I mean, after a market drops 70%, which is almost unprecedented, it almost makes people feel uneasy, even though those of us, we're all consumers, we don't want to pay any more for our gasoline, for example. It just seems like there's other areas of the economy that almost turn into deflation, and then you start hearing of wages getting froze, and so there's a lot of other impacts in our daily lives that can happen there, that can have beyond just the price of gasoline. And so I think you're right. I think there's a stability factor in here that I think people would like to have. And obviously the overseas sellers of oil would definitely like that too. They're trying to bet on oil going back up to $75 to $100 here over the next year or so, if it will. And I don't know if it's going to be able to get there, though.
Yeah, well, if the OPEC nations can't seem to get themselves together hold to what they say they're going to put out, I doubt that would be the case. A couple of nations reported today putting more oil on the market than they're supposed to be.
Right. That was announced today. That's exactly right. And at the same time, we have some U.S. oil workers that have tried to go on strike over the past weekend here for better wages and such. And it's kind of an interesting time to try to walk off your job on some type of a strike when you're in this type of economy. But it sounds like they're kind of working through some of those items. And so some of the bullishness that we ended last week with kind of deflated itself back out here now. It seems like from the current standpoint that it would be realistic to expect a price rally in most energy commodities out into spring, but I just don't think that rally is going to be quite to the extent that it would normally be. So I think you still look at a spring rally, but it maybe just doesn't have that real strong punch that it would normally have.
Now, what would you suggest crude oil could rally to if you had to put a point on it?
Well, first we got to get through 50. You get through $50 here. Right now it's at about 40 or 41. You got to get through 50. Once you get through 50, you're going up to 67 or 70. And then that might be about it on the spring rally.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's all for now.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's an agricultural energy specialist. Somebody from his office, usually him, joins us on the first Tuesday of the month. We talk about agricultural energies each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Mark Report. That's at about 25 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time, or about 20 minutes into the program if you listen to this program delayed. Thanks much for listening, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Carrot Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1468, Johannes Gutenberg died. He invented the method of printing from movable type. One of the most important innovations in his method was a new press, similar to the screw presses used in winemaking. In 1815, the world's first commercial cheese factory was established in Switzerland. In 1852, David Wilkinson died, an American inventor. With his father and brother, he supplied the cotton industry by machining, casting, and forging iron parts to build textile manufacturing equipment for such factories as Slater Mill. In 1823, Spencer Fullerton Baird was born. An American naturalist and zoologist, he was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. By the end of his tenure, the National Museum housed more than 2.5 million specimens and artifacts. In 1857, Wilhelm Johansson was born. A Danish botanist and geneticist, his experiments offered strong support that changes in plant heredity come through sudden, discrete changes in germ cells. And in 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. It gave Congress the power to levy taxes on income. In 1913, less than 1% of the population paid income tax at the rate of 1%. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Another little snow shower here in the Urbana-Champaign and Champaign County area last night. I don't know how much we got, enough that I had to move it off the driveway this morning, and it's cold out there today.
Yeah, it's cold, and the reason we're getting those snow showers is that very cold Canadian air moving over the open waters, or what's left of open waters of the Great Lakes, causing that snow shower activity. There'll be a lot of it up in northwest Indiana here over the next couple of days, but it looks like, generally speaking, while it will be cold, the weather is going to be fairly quiet here in the Midwest here for a couple of days.
Well, that's good, and it appears we'll be warming up by the time we get to Friday, too.
Yeah, in fact, there's a big area of high pressure that's building over the desert states, the southern plains and Rockies, that will shift east into the Midwest, resulting in a nice warm-up later this week and into the weekend. Now, it's temporary. We're expecting that there's going to be a series of storms that will be bringing rain to the West Coast, California, and then eventually these storms will march across the Midwest as we get into the next week and beyond. So enjoy the little bit of a thaw, because we're likely going to go back to colder weather once we get into the next week.
Colder weather here, but in the South American area, a little warmer, I suspect.
A little bit warmer, and while the short-term rain forecast still isn't good, long-term charts are hinting that there might be some good news for portions of Brazil and Argentina that need some rain. Especially Argentina, there will be a series of systems moving in that may bring portions of South America some needed rain.
Oh, I'm looking at a number for Rosario and Argentina on their high today. It can't possibly be right, but I suppose it could be. It looks like it's just blistering hot in some of those areas.
Yeah, it is. There are some very hot areas in the southern hemisphere. One area is Australia, and another one that is quite hot is in South America. Now, we do see that changing. The current pattern that's resulted in those hot conditions will break down. There's a blocking pattern in the southern hemisphere, where you've got pockets of very cold and very warm conditions. And right now, those warm conditions are centered over Australia and South America.
Well, the number I see for today is 108-degree temperature in Rosario, but it calms down to 93 and 95 and into the 80s by the time we get to Friday. But that's whether it's that hot or not, they've had an awful dry season, and that can't be good on the crops.
No, it's not. It is going to be stressful, although they may be reaching their peak in terms of the heat and starting to see things get a little bit more favorable. Whether or not it's a little too late, we'll have to see.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
One thing where we are a little hopeful, and hopefully we don't jinx it, there could be some badly needed moisture coming to the southern plains. Portions of Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas may be looking at the best chance for moisture they've had in a long time next week, as that California West Coast storm will track further south. So there is some hope for the wheat areas to maybe get some needed moisture.
Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.